basically, up to 6 years ago, some of the leaders of the synagogue decided they need some rabbinic renewal. And they approached the rabbi to, at the time, I believe, try and move him aside slightly while bringing someone new in. And that didn't work very well. So over time, that issue has been a larger problem because the shul's had declining membership, because many congregants believe the rabbi isn't engaging with them. And it's now at a critical point because the shul can't afford to remain open. So it was given to administrators 2 months ago now. When that happened, the administrator immediately terminated the contract for Rabbi Ben Zion Malecki, who has been there for 32 years. However, that was then considered by the New South Wales Supreme Court, who ruled that he couldn't be terminated. His contract couldn't be ended without the approval of a Beth Din, which is stated in his contract. And furthermore, he has Hazakah, which is effectively life tenure. So it's a very unfortunate situation. It came to a head this week, where after the court's ruling last Thursday, the administrator on Wednesday afternoon informed the congregation that he would be locking the shul's doors on Friday, that was 2 days ago now, and that he would be closing the shul because it's not financially viable. We don't know what happened. There's a meeting on Thursday night to see if they can try and save the shul. We just have to wait and see exactly how it ends. But either the shul will be closed on Friday or the congregants will find a way to save it. I think everyone is just hoping at this point in time that something can save the synagogue. The question, whether they can, no one knows.
We are talking to Joshua Levi, Deputy Editor of the Australian Jewish News. Joshua, out of this crisis came very interesting items. First of all, the interference of the Supreme Court of New South Wales, the civil court, when it comes to rabbinical contract. Is that a precedent?
Yeah, look, it's not the first time, but it's certainly one of the most unique. So effectively, the mistake from South Head's point of view is that they put in Rabbi Malecki's contract that all disputes will be decided by halacha and a din Torah, which is a Jewish court case. And so that the contract under New South Wales law states that it has to go to the rabbis. It wouldn't happen on a regular case. I think this is a concern for all synagogues, but it's not a death nail, so to speak, because the reality is this contract is unique in that it specifically says that the rabbis determine what will happen.
Do you know, Joshua, I reported on it last week and a listener phoned me because that was breaking news on Sunday. And a listener phoned me and asked me, what happened if there is a contract that goes by Sharia law? Is the Civil Court of Australia going to recognize Sharia law like it recognized Jewish law? Are we going in the path of recognizing religious contracts? And that was a question put to me by a listener, and I didn't know what to answer.
Look, I'll give you a short answer, and that is that technically what happens when you go to a Beth Din is, you know, you can mediate a disagreement with anybody. So if you and I need to have a disagreement, we could call up three people and say, can you mediate it for us? And if they're actual mediators, what they'll do is they'll have us sign an agreement, which states that whatever those mediators determine become, assuming the case is fair, becomes the outcome. And you and I will sign an agreement that will bind us to their findings, unless, of course, we challenge it to the court. So when you go to a Beth Din, what you actually do is you sign up to a mediation agreement, which is a secular mediation agreement, and give those three rabbis the opportunity to be those mediators. So there have been cases in the past where that has happened, and the case was unfair, and so the loser went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said the mediation agreement is no longer valid because his case was heard in an unfair manner. They used different languages, and they didn't give ample time for people to respond. So technically, the Beth Din is actually working in the secular framework. So I would suggest that, yes, you could have the same with Sharia law. However, if the finding was that someone were to get lashes or something extreme, that would be illegal.
The other question is the moral question. You've got a community that want a renewal. They want a younger rabbi for the next generation. And we have a rabbi that says, no, I'm not going. I've got a contract. I'm staying as the rabbi. I don't care if the community doesn't want me. And this moral question is very interesting. And I think the AJN give a viewpoint from another rabbi, Rabbi David Freilich from Western Australia. And I found it extremely interesting what Rabbi Freilich had to say about, he didn't talk about Rabbi Ben Zion Malachi, he wrote about himself, but you can understand what he's trying to say. Can you please tell our listeners that viewpoint?
So Rabbi Freilich, for those who don't know, at one point in time was actually the rabbi at Maroubra Synagogue in Sydney. So he does have some knowledge of the Sydney Jewish community. He's now at the Perth Hebrew Congregation. And he has Hazakah, life tenure there, Perth Hebrew Congregation. But what he wrote this week was that he is giving that up and he's retiring, stepping down in July. And he has come forward and said, look, I have life tenure. I could take my life tenure, but I recognize that the Perth Hebrew Congregation needs renewal and needs and wants a younger rabbi. And he believes his responsibility in that case is to step aside and allow that to happen, which the AJN has publicly and unashamedly said we totally agree with. And in the case of Malachi, I'm not sure he believes that a majority of the community want him gone. And I think in that aspect, he's possibly a bit naive, or he believes there's a solid majority, which we don't believe is there. And the second aspect is that he believes that he was selected for that position by the Rebbe, and that it is his life mission to stay there and do what he can. And in fact, when he spoke to me, he said, look, I'm not turning my back on the community. And again, it's interesting because he would see leaving as him turning his back. A lot of the community would say, in fact, him leaving would be something for the community. And it's just very interesting how they say it two different ways. We personally believe he should go. Absolutely no doubt he should leave the synagogue. You know, if the synagogue was financially stable and had a lot of money, become Rabbi Emeritus, take a pension. But the shul isn't. So the choice is between him staying and they're not getting a second rabbi or him going. And really, he just has to leave. It's unfortunate. It's not fair. We wrote in the editorial this week. I don't believe it's solely his fault that the shul is in this financial position. And certainly we don't portion blame. What we do say is that putting aside what happened before June 28th this year, what has to happen now for the future is he has to leave.
And we are talking to Joshua Levi, Deputy Editor of the Australian Jewish News. Joshua, on a different topic altogether, the census results, very interesting. Are there 6,000 less Jews in Australia than during the last census?
Statisticians will tell you no. They will say the numbers aren't correct. What they've told us is that the combination of the failed census website and the fact that there were concerns about the privacy of census data, because I think the government didn't do a very good job of clarifying how the data was being stored, has led to figures that aren't accurate.
Well, I just want to mention the numbers that in the 2011 census, 97,327 people stated that they were Jewish, but in the 2016 census, that number dropped to 91,022. At the same time, there was an increase in Hebrew speakers in Australia. I must say that.
Yeah.
Joshua Levi, Deputy Editor of the Australian Jewish News, thank you very much and have a great week.